Okay. Yeah. Wait, I should get my harmonica. All right. Let's go ahead and open in prayer, and let's just celebrate. This is the day the Lord has made. Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask you to bless this day as we gather to worship you and to hear your word, Lord. We ask that you would bring your Holy Spirit in amongst us, that we would just commune with him and he with us, and that he would touch all the lives here today, Lord. And we thank you for what you're about to bring into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
How about we all stand for the opening scripture that will be shown on the screen? And it's John chapter 6, verse 21. It's from the New King James Version. Then they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Praise God. I'm excited about what the message says today.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to start with just lifting him up, lifting our praise to him. Who said it's time to praise? Because it is, it's time to praise. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Kay might be here today. Dean and Kay might be here today. So that is a reason to praise after all the surgeries and recoveries and the ups and downs. That's a reason to praise. So, Lord, we do. We place you on the highest place today. That's where you are to go.
Lord, I want more of you. Living water rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life. And higher to you.
let's say it in unity that we, Lord, we want more of you. Lord, we need more of you. 'Cause we're hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. Oh, we are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We are thirsty for more of you. We are thirsty for more of you. And we're gonna, we lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. 'Cause Lord, I want more of you. Oh, Lord, I need more of you. Oh, Lord, we want more of you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The Lord would say, thank you for worshiping me with your whole being. I am here. With all that I am, I bring all that I am. I bring salvation, healing, all my love, anything you need, I have. And I am here wanting to pour it out on you because you have poured out your worship to me. Just reach up and take it. Just reach up and take it. Oh, Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for all that your presence carries with it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I don't think that the Lord is done right now. Again, if you feel like taking communion, Pastor Karen may have permission to go through one more song. And we're going to take communion. If you feel like it, some have already. There'll be another opportunity to do so when we worship again. The Lord has something for each one of us. If you feel like standing and lifting holy hands to him, then do it. If you feel like kneeling, we have kneel pads right over here, and you're welcome to just come get them and kneel. If you feel like sitting down, lowering your head, whatever, please get in a stance and worship and receive all that you have. Jesus.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for your presence, your wonderful, thick presence in this place. And thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. And Lord, in continuation of our worship, we bring our tithes and our offerings to you with a thankful, grateful, joyful heart. They belong to you. You gave them to us to begin with, so we just give them back to you in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We have a testimony. And so, are you ready for your testimony?
I don't know if it's truly a testimony, but... Oh, okay. My biggest testimony is the Lord healed me, took me through two surgeries, and my heart is declared good. And I think I'm going to get the same report on the rest of me, and I know it's because of the prayers. We could really feel them at times, so thank you all very much. Everyone. Oh, Carl ran away. Okay. Yeah. So, and we just had such good fortune, and you know, getting recommendations of just the right surgeons and things, that it wouldn't have happened the same way if we hadn't had that. And that was none of our doing at all. So, thank you. Thank you very much. So, what?
Lots of glasses.
Oh, and I had another, excuse me, reason to be thank you. Since I have these yucky hearing aids, I have to have glasses with a thin thing, and then I found out I needed bifocals. So we spend the money for sunglasses and glasses. I come away from getting a haircut, which I desperately needed after this. Put my glasses on to write the check, went home, discovered I did not have my prescription glasses. A whole week goes by. Our gal that cuts our hair is over by old father, clear across the valley from our home in Oro Valley. Yesterday, I looked out my window, saw two little red things, and I thought, must have been a blossom, but they were along the rock garden, and I had watered there for 2 days before, taking my little sprinkling can out, so I knew I had seen that. I thought, that must be a flower that blew in, because I don't have red flowers. Went out, and they were the prongs of my two red glasses. So I think the angels were working because there's no other explanation.
That's awesome. That is so cool. That is awesome. One thing I also want to emphasize is that we have the CCE that has that conference that is coming up this next weekend. The summer conference. So that's coming up Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. And then there's some flyers over here. So if you need them, and it's free. I'm sure they'll take a love offering, but it is free. So I'm so excited. If you haven't noticed, I'm very excited about what God has to share with us today. I even put it on Facebook. I go, I'm just incredibly overwhelmed at his word. I'm incredibly overwhelmed at his love and the power of his word. And when I get in it, and then when I look, and when he speaks, and then when you have the time also to get into the original Greek and Hebrew, and it just shows you how powerful it is. And then you got the Holy Spirit working, and it's just, anyways, I remember hearing those missionaries that were here from Mexico that one time, and they told a story about this little girl, and the Lord had led him to a town, and it was quite some time, but anyways, one thing led to another. He's in this town, it's dark by the time they get there, and just following the leading of the Lord, and he's with another gentleman, and there's just this building with a single light, and the girl runs out to their car, and then she looks in the back, and she runs into the building. The mother comes out, looks in the back of their car, their vehicle, and they go, "Whose treasure? Who has the treasure?" And they had gone through some area and bought some things to help with an Indian reservation, etc., and so they were thinking maybe it was that, the trinket, especially with the little girl, and then going to get the mom. She goes, no, the Bible. Bible. They had been praying. He had been feeling this need to go there for months. And he finally worked it out with a schedule. And he goes, "When did you start praying?" Because they were saying, "We were praying for a Christian man, a preacher to come to our town and start a church." And he said, "When did you start praying?" And it was the exact time that he felt the Holy Spirit leading him. And this is our treasure. So may we have ears right now to hear what he is speaking to us right now. I've been praying that each one, because you know what? Our God is so incredibly awesome. He can change it up to each one of us to receive exactly what each of us needs to hear. So I have been praying that each one would get the revelation from the Holy Spirit with this wonderful treasure. That's why I have the Bible and all of that over there on the treasure box, because this is our treasure. We see in the Bible that there's tons of miracles. Tons of miracles of Jesus, and we read that, and it's so exciting to read and see what our Lord has done. And then we come to one of the miracles is the feeding of the 5,000. So to kind of bring to the point of where our opening scripture is, we're going to read the miracle of the 5,000, and I'm going to be reading it to you from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. And it's from the New King James Version I'm going to be reading from. "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." Jesus had sent them out to go and preach and teach the word. He had anointed them, empowered them to also heal and minister to people. And he said, "Shake it off. If they don't want it, just shake it off and just continue to go until somebody is willing to receive." And so they're telling him about this. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, Jesus, and ran there on foot from all the cities, because they had heard about the miracles of Jesus. And they arrived before them and came together to Jesus, to him. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he received them. And as Luke 9 says, began to teach them many things, and he healed those who had need of healing. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he, the Lord Jesus, answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." In other words, right now, what do you have right now? What do you have with you right now? And when they found out, he said, "Go and see. Go and see. What do you have right now? And take inventory." And they found out that they had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then he, the Lord Jesus, commanded them to make them all sit down, all the crowd, the multitude, sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, the Lord Jesus looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke the loaves when he had given thanks and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he also divided among them all. So they all ate, and they were all filled. And they took up afterwards 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now, those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. That's besides the women and the children. Five loaves, two fish. See what Jesus did, the miracles that Jesus did? That's just one example. But they were hungry, and they were thirsty for him. And they were filled. And all it took was what they had. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52 says, "And at once he insisted that the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida, while he was sending the throng away. And after he had taken leave of them, he went off into the hills to pray. Now when evening had come, the boat was out in the middle of the lake, and he was by himself on the land. And having seen that they were troubled and tormented in their rowing, for the wind was against them, and it was about the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., he came to them walking directly on the sea. He came to them walking directly on the sea. For with Jesus, nothing's impossible with him. He can walk on any sea. He just fed 5,000. So he came to them walking on the sea, and he acted as if he meant to pass by them. But when they saw him, because they were sinking, walking on the sea, they all of a sudden they thought it was a ghost and raised a deep throaty shriek of terror. And guess what? Well, then they really saw that it was him. For they, after they saw him, they were agitated, they were troubled and filled with fear and dread. But immediately he, you know, because they're still kind of scared. You know, they see him, they know it's him, but they're kind of still scared. And so immediately, Jesus, knowing their heart, it's like they see it, but they're like, okay, well, but is it you? But I know you've done some miracles, and so they're just kind of like, is it or is it not? Or is this you or is it not? And then immediately he talked to them. He knew their heart. Immediately he talks to them. And he says, take heart. I am. Just, I am. In other words, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am. That's all they needed to hear. Stop being alarmed and afraid. I am. I'm here. And he went up into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, sank to the rest as if exhausted by its own beating. And they were astonished exceedingly. It was beyond measure. For they failed to consider or understand the teaching and the meaning of the miracle of the loaves they had just seen. In fact, their hearts had grown callous, had become dull, and had lost the power of understanding. Are we hungry? Are we thirsty for more of him? He knows where our heart is. And he's ready to feed us even more. John chapter 6, verse 21, the New King James Version, which was our opening scripture. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. I knew when I was reading this that God told me to look up, and then when I was looking up, I knew he was speaking to us. The King James Version Oh, also the Jubilee. Has anybody ever heard the Jubilee Bible 2000? I hadn't either. And I was looking up on Bible Gateway, you know, for different translations, and I go, oh, wow. So the Jubilee Bible 2000 goes to original Greek and Hebrew, and it explains more. So this calls it the ship. The King James Version calls the boat the ship. And the Douay Rheims, the American edition, 1899, that calls it the ship. So the original Greek is ship, the word. But then it explains, you know, that it can be boat. And that's why a lot have gone to the boat, because the rowing too and stuff. So they went to that. But so I was looking up that. What is that word? Well, there were six words that I felt impressed to look up on. Willingly, received, ship, boat, immediately, land, and went. Because went, remember, in the New King James Version, we're going. And I was like, okay, Lord, what are you speaking to us? This is exciting. I knew he had something. The Amplified for John 6:21 says, then they were quite willing and glad for him to come into that boat. And now the boat went at once to the land they had steered toward. And immediately they reached the shore toward which they had been slowly making their way. The CEV says they wanted to take him into the boat. The NLT says they were eager to let him in the boat. The HCSB says they were willing to take him on board. Are we willing? Are we eager? Do we really want? The Voice says in John 6:21, they welcomed Jesus aboard their small vessel. And when he stepped into the boat, the next thing they knew, they were ashore at their destination. So I was looking up the second part of that verse in different versions. The New King James Version says, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. The CEV, suddenly the boat reached the shore where they were headed. The NLT, and immediately they arrived at their destination. The NLV, at once they got to the other side where they wanted to go. GNT, immediately the boat reached land at the place where they were heading for. The Message, in no time they reached land, the exact spot they were headed to. The Douay Rheims, and presently, the ship was at the land to which they were going. Do you see the power in this verse? Wait until you hear the meanings. This is so cool. Willingly. And it's thelo. And it says to determine as an act. This is the Greek from the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. As an active option from subjective impulse. So it's an active option from subjective impulse to determine. So an example, to choose or prefer, literally or figuratively, by implication, to wish, to desire, in other words. To be inclined, another example, to be inclined to sometimes adversely, gladly. And then in an impersonal way, for the future tense, to be about to. The Hebrew, then, is the delight in, desire, to be disposed forward, intend, list, love, mean, please, have rather, be, will, be willing, be have, willing to have, willingly, willing. Powerful. And we saw that in some of the examples. Receive. This to take, literally or figuratively, to act, to get hold of, to accept, plus be amazed. And that's what happened with them. To assay, to attain, to bring times when I call, to bring times when I
the Lord God call, to catch, to come on times unto, to come on or to come unto, to forget. And I was going, forget? Oh, yes, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. See, as we obtain and catch, we're also sometimes forgetting some of the past, some of our mistakes, to able to receive what he has for us, to have, to be able to hold, to be able to obtain, to be able to receive times after. In other words, to be able to receive after you know that you have been totally and completely cleansed and healed by the blood of Jesus. Your mistakes, your past, present, future, that's covered by the blood of Jesus. So press forward. Take away and take up. That's the power of the word receive. Then we have ship. Well, this is where I got excited, because I was just thinking, okay, a ship. I mean, I got excited on all, don't get me wrong, but this was good too. Ship, okay, this word is a sailor, a vessel, an example of vessel, ship or shipping. But then it was taken from another Greek word, which says, it is used as an alternative in certain tenses, probably a form of an idea through the idea of plunging through water. To pass in a vessel, to sail. And that word that it's probably a form from is to flow, to plunge, launder, clothing, or wash. And I was thinking, Jesus, we are your vessels, your instruments, your word says, and we are totally and completely washed by the blood of Jesus. Do you see the power in this verse when they received him into the boat? And then the word that it says to see also, this other word, and which means to fill, literally or figuratively, to imbue, to influence, to supply, specifically to fulfill or to fulfill time, to accomplish, to full, to fully come, to furnish. What does our Lord say to us in Philippians 4:19? My God will supply all our needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is by the blood that has washed us whiter than snow. And they receive that in their vessel. But I was like, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, some of you great, you know, people that have a great vocabulary, I was not understanding what imbue meant. So I looked up imbue in the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. To tinge deeply, to dye, as to imbue cloth. To tincture deeply, to cause to imbibe, as to imbue the minds of the youth with good principles. Okay, you'll have to bear with me. I don't use the word imbibe much either. So I go, okay, Lord, I got to look up that. Imbue, imbibe, okay? To imbue the minds, okay, imbibe. To drink in. To absorb. As a dry or porous body imbibes a fluid. A sponge imbibes moisture. To receive or admit into the mind and to retain as to imbibe principles. To imbibe errors also. Imbibing the mind always implies retention, at least for a time. Well, this was totally and completely reminding me We need to be like children and desire to drink in what he is giving us and to absorb like a sponge and just keep drinking and drinking and drinking and just be filled. Matthew chapter 6:21, as I had said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we need to remember that as Matthew 6:21 says, you know, where your heart, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our heart, it will be filled because we're hungry for him. We are thirsty for his cleansing and for the water. But Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Imbibing the mind always implies retention. But at least for a time. Well, what if you forget? Well, we get a rest in that too, because John 14:26 says, you know, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach us all things and will bring to our remembrance all things that Jesus, the Bible, the Holy Word, has said to us. And then John 16:13 says, however, that when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, for whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. And this is ours. Wow. And then I loved it where it was talking about as to imbue the minds of the youth with good principles. Okay, bear with me a little bit longer, because I was like, okay, this tincture one, don't really know that word. I don't really use that word a lot, to tincture deeply. So I wanted to know what that meant too. So to tincture deeply, to tinge, to communicate a slight foreign color, to impregnate with some extraneous matter. Extraneous is a coming from outside, existing or coming from outside, not relevant or applicable, existing without, and the matter, the substance or substances of which any physical object consists or is composed. Well, who experienced tincture was Mary. When the Holy Spirit came to her, when the angel told her that, yes, normally children are conceived a certain way, and you haven't known your husband, that you're betrothed to Joseph, but the Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty, has a plan for you. And it's not the normal way that things have happened. And that Holy Spirit, whom the Father spoke to Mary through the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father will be speaking to us more and more. But we have to be hungry and we have to be willing to hear. Luke chapter 1 verse 45, we have to be willing to be tinctured with the Holy Spirit coming to us. And with the Holy Spirit coming to us, see what happened was when, as Luke 1:45, we see that Elizabeth saw Mary, and what did she say? She said, blessed is she who believed, who was tinctured, and who was believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. For she was the ship, the vessel, and he fulfilled and supplied for her because she was willing to believe and to receive tincture from the Holy Spirit. Well, we've received that too when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Tinge. There was that other word in there for that definition that I don't use too much. The English is to dye, a D-Y-E, to dye, to colorize something. The German is to dip, for this word, and the French is to stain. So these are the definitions from these different languages. Well, tinging is from dripping. The primary sense of a verb is to plunge or to throw down, to thrust, and intransitively to fall. Hence, we see the words to dye, to imbue, to dye, D-I-E, to imbue or impregnate with something foreign, to communicate qualities of one's substance in some degree or another, either by mixture or by adding them to the surface. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They are tinctured. Colossians 3:3, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God because it is covered by the blood of Jesus. You are tinged. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. As Luke 1:45 says, as Elizabeth said to Mary, blessed is each and every one of us who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to each one of us from our Lord and Savior. There will be, and it's coming. And then, immediately, this is the fourth word. This, it comes directly from another word, but it says directly, i.e., an example, at once, as soon, anon, as soon as, forthwith, immediately, shortly, straightway. And then I was looking up anon because I was going, okay, what does that mean? Because I don't use that word either. And that means soon, shortly, you know. But synonyms, one of them was presently. Do you remember in one of the versions I said, it said presently? The fifth word that I looked up is land. And this comes from a primitive word meaning soil, by extension or a region, or the solid part or the whole of the terrain globe, including the occupants in each application, the country, the earth, the ground, the land, the world, here, this community, this city, this county, this state, this country, and then this world. And number six, that word is went. So I looked up that last word. Remember it said, you know, going away, or no, wait, what did it say? We're going. They were going, and then it went. So I looked up that word, and this comes from two different Greek words. To lead oneself under, literally or figuratively, to depart, get hence, or go away, or go away. And then I looked up that those words that it came from, and it says, of a place, or with verbs, the agency or means through, with the acceptance of a place. In other words, of a time, when or at, among, by, from, with. So went is here. It's a place. It's with. It's among. It's a time. It's to lead oneself, to depart, to hence, to, and then the other word. It's that it comes from to lead by implication, to bring, to drive. As a reflex, to go specifically, to pass time, or figuratively, to induce, to bring, to be, to bring forth, carry, let, go, be open. Went in the Noah Webster's Dictionary, the 1820, it's the pretense of the obsolete verb wend, which is to go, to pass, to or from.
Remember that part of forget, but then receiving what you have? So see how that just covers it all. Do you see the power of this word? Do you see what the Lord God has for us? Do you hear what I'm hearing? I'm so incredibly excited. Paul was watching a movie last night, a Western, and actually it was made this year, or at least put on this year. And he said, Karen, come and see, you know, what you've got to take a moment, a break from my study and finishing my preparation. And he goes, come and see this prayer that this lady's reading. And it's of the railroad. And this woman, it shows a woman kneeling at the cow catcher on the railroad tracks, and she prays. They're about to go, you know, the railroad going west. And they have a lot of challenges ahead of them. And so she tells the gentleman, I was just trying to collect my thoughts and pray. You're welcome to join me in prayer. Well, the guy in charge of it said, well, I'll let you be in charge of that. But some stayed, you know. And so she prays, Heavenly Father, you have given us a vision of this railroad which will bind our nation. Lord Christ, when you came among us, you proclaimed God's kingdom in towns and lowly places such as these. Grant that your presence be known. Thus, this railroad was built to cross this land. Have mercy on those who labor on it. Send us honest and able leaders. May peace prevail with righteousness, justice with order, and help us eliminate poverty, oppression along the way, and especially eliminate evil. All this we ask in God's holy name. Amen. That was 2013 on TV. Yeah. On a Western. I was like, wow, Lord. Acts 9:31, it was reminding me of this. But I want to read to you first again, John 6:21, and this is from the Expanded Bible, which also goes to the original Greek and Hebrew. Then they were glad, or were willing, to take him into the boat. At once, immediately, the boat came to the land at the place where they wanted to go. Now, the sea, it says in parentheses, is often stands for chaos, and God controls it. The train that she was praying for was going to hit many challenges, but she was seeking the Lord to continue to help that train to reach the destination and for the purpose that God had for the railroad. But what was she praying also? For leaders that would love him, honest and able leaders, that this train and the purpose of it, that he had for it, that it would bring peace, that peace would prevail, righteousness, justice with order, eliminating poverty, oppression along the way, and especially eliminating evil. Why? Because they were proclaiming the Lord Christ, who proclaimed God's kingdom in the towns and the places where this would go. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 and 27 says how this was the part where the wind and the waves obey him. This is that sea that often stands for chaos. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. So the boat was covered with the waves. But Jesus was asleep on the boat. This is another, you know, a miracle. And see, this is before this time that they saw him walking on the water, thinking he was a ghost. This is before that. And then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us! We are perishing! But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith?
Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? When he got into the boat, it says that there was immediately there was a calm that happened when he went into the boat. Are we receiving Jesus into our boat? Not only our own personal vessel, boat, ship, but pathway of hope. Because they knew that even the winds and the sea obey him. We are that vessel, that train. And the Holy Spirit is our cow guard. And he, I told you at 1 o'clock, I have that sonar. The Lord revealed to me one time about a cow guard. This was years ago. And he was saying, you know, I am that for you to fulfill the purpose and the plan that I have for you and I called you to. And that's why at 1 o'clock when I heard that sonar, it reminds me of like, you're my cow guard. In other words, you're seeing any obstacles and you're taking care of it because I'm surrendering it to you. If there's anything you want me to do or say or not do or not say, you know, help me, guide and direct me, but take care of any obstacles so I can continue to be in your perfect will, in your perfect way, in your perfect timing, not going too fast, not going too slow, not going to the left, not going to the right, staying on your perfect will. And I pray that as in the position that I'm at, as the leader of Pathway of Hope, as a senior pastor of Pathway of Hope, I keep praying that. And then I pray for that for you all when I lift you up in prayer. He is our cow guard. So the seas may be rough. We may have a ship that's on a sea that's very rough. But we need to remember that we have a miracle worker. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And then in Mark 9:23, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, this was to the father that went to Jesus and the disciples had, you know, the apostles had been praying over his son and he wasn't getting healed. And so they were going, you know, Jesus, you know, heal it. And he goes, you know, hey, anything's possible to him who believes. And the father says, oh, yeah, I believe because, like, once again, like these disciples were a minute of like, oops, they forgot about the 5,000, you know, that were men. And then women and children that were just, you know, fed. And the miracle, and they were like, okay, he's going, I know, I've heard of it. I maybe even he's seen some of the miracles. And he's going, okay, but help my unbelief. And what does Jesus do? And not Mark 9:24 says, yeah, you got it. He helps his unbelief. He's crying out in Mark 9:24, help my unbelief, Lord. I do believe, but help my lack of faith. And he's going, don't worry. It's not of works. And that work of saying, I got to build up enough faith. Come on. Work it up. And it's like, no, it's not that. It's you have that faith the size of a mustard seed. This tiny little seed. And see, all that's all it takes. You see that you're sitting here. All it takes is like, I trust that seat is going to hold me up. I trust that this floor is going to hold me up. That little mustard seed faith, and it attaches to his faith. And it is his faith that does the moving. It is his faith that does the power. It is his faith that attaches to ours and does what God's will is when our hearts are his. It joins together. It impregnates together. It tinctures together. And it is moving by the power of the Holy Spirit moving because the blood is covering us because we are filled to overflowing. We are his. Are we willing to receive him into our boat, whatever it looks like? It could be all different shapes and sizes. Pathway of Hope to me is a landing carrier because we are ready to receive all that are coming to him. Because Pathway of Hope is a house of prayer, is a salvation and healing center. But we all are also part of having, when we're out there, different vessels. Are we going to allow Jesus to take the helm, to steer us through the course of our sea, individually and corporately, as the body of Christ, not only part of that body being here at Pathway of Hope, but part of the body as Christians? Are we? Because if our heart is totally His, then it is full of the living water of the Lord, crowned with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with His authority that will make ripples and waves wherever we go with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to continue to pray and to listen and to tell others, to share with others, to invite others, to maybe come to Pathway of Hope or to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, or encourage them. If Pathway of Hope is not a good church for them for whatever reasons, then, or maybe they live far away or something, encourage them to go to a Bible-preaching, Spirit-filled church where they will not forsake the fellowship of others. As if Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 talks about, we're going to need that in this time. We need that because the seas are going to get darker and chaos. But we've got Jesus in our boat and on our ship, and it's going to calm around us. But people need to come to our landing carrier. And for each of us, put them on our ship. Where is your sphere of influence as you invite them? Because you are filled with water, with the living water of the Lord, and you want to refresh and touch the lives of those, but you need to say, come into the boat. There's a boat, and it's the sea is rocking, but come on, all the different nationalities, all the people, have them get into the boat and say, Jesus will calm the storm, but He will point the way for them and for their plan and the purpose for their life, individually and corporately as the body of Christ. This reminds me of Acts chapter 9, verse 31, when the Apostle Paul says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria at peace, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and then the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Pathway of Hope is that carrier, that ship there, that will also, as we move out and we are on our little duties, we may be planes, we may be a different type of vessel, but we're out there in our sphere of influence helping others, and peace will come when they are willing to receive as we show them the way to the truth and the life, the salvation that only comes through Him, the power of Him for their lives in the midst of their chaos and their sea and on their boat, whatever size it is, they will see it calmed as they trust in Him and seek Him. But are we willing to be that disciple? Eudora Welty is an author, and she won the Nobel Prize for her novel, The Optimist's Daughter. Now, she had graduated from New York, a university in New York, during the Great Depression. Talk about a time of turmoil and chaos. She had a hard time getting a job, so she wound up moving back to Jackson, Mississippi. And then one thing led to another with her writing books and novels and short stories. She had a quote that says, all serious daring starts from within. When you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that daring is there, because it is not by you, but it is by the Holy Spirit empowering you as you're obedient to Him in the direction that He has you go. Is He the master of your ship at your helm pointing? And are you going exactly where He's telling you to? Are you a gospel-driven disciple? Daring to be that disciple that God's called you to be. Daring to remember to tell people that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the divine healer, the great physician. Jesus Christ is the soon coming King. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is ours. So receive the power of John 6:21. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Things are stepping up big time, and the spiritual realm is moving. But are you willing to receive him? Because why? Suddenly, presently, shortly, you will be where God intends you to be, and that includes Pathway of Hope. I am so excited about what God has for Pathway of Hope. And it is very soon we're going to see. Very soon. But I know this wasn't just for Pathway of Hope. This is for the body of Christ. And this is for each of our believers. So receive what he has for you. And that is why we should take the Lord's Supper, the communion, and remember the power. Do you remember the Acts church? And they gathered together and they remembered what Jesus had done for them and the power that they have by the body. His body was broken for us. By his stripes we are healed. His blood cleanses us. And it is by that we have the power of his name, the power of the resurrection. And as we take that, we are receiving and remembering what he has given us and that authority that we have. That authority with the king's ring stamped by the blood of Jesus. And that is the authority that we are to walk in. But we need to receive, willingly receive in our boat, in our ship, no matter what it looks like. And immediately we will see as we continue to look to him, it's not by us. As Acts 3:16 says about that man, the first man that the disciples Peter and John healed, that was outside of the church in the sense after the day of Pentecost with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they go, you know what? I don't have silver or gold, but guess what I have? In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, rise up and walk. And they helped him up. And then later in Acts 3:16, it says, it's not by his faith, it's the faith of the Lord that made him whole. But it was his faith, that mustard seed faith. That's all it took. And the Lord Jesus is the one that made him whole. And that's what we have, the power of the name of Jesus to go out and see him move on behalf for us to glorify him and being in his perfect will, his perfect way, his perfect timing. So let us praise and worship and this time and continue to receive what he has for each and every one of us. Receive. Prepare yourselves right now to receive this as I declare this over your lives. I proclaim Numbers 6:24 through 26, the power of God's precious holy word for each and every one of us. May you, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, our heavenly Father, may you, Lord, bless each one. May you watch over each one. May you guard each one and may you keep each one. May you, Lord God Almighty, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto each one. And may you, Lord, lift up your approving countenance upon each one and give each one of us peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, because the peace that you give is through Jesus Christ. It is not like the peace the world gives. Thank you and praise you that we are more than conquerors through Jesus being our Lord and our Savior, no matter what we face the rest of the day and this week and continuing on, until you either take us home to be with you, however that is, or you come, well, that'd be going home to you too, but you know what I mean, like, you know, by death or by you coming again. So, Lord, I just truly thank you and praise you for your love for each one of us. And may we just be filled to overflowing. May we continue to thirst for you and be hungry for you. For you are our source for all our provision for our ships. And we thank you that soon, presently, forthwith, we will be where you want us to be for your purpose and for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.